WOL, Radio 1 Incorporated, or their management.
Friday at 10:30 a.m. bringing you the good marketing gospel. We're not saving souls. We're saving businesses, saving jobs, trying to save our community, for God's sake. And if I happen to save a soul along the way, don't hold that against me. That's just icing on the cake. Our mission here at the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show is to build strong businesses in our community so we can put our people to work. Now, we accomplish this mission with business development, job creation, and service. I know y'all tired of me saying it. I'm probably tired of saying it, too. But yes, I'm tired. Tired of begging. I'm tired of moaning. Tired of groaning. Giving these folks more power than they deserve. When we have more power than we can even count, if we just put it to use, we have sitting on $1 trillion economy and spending power. Do you know what you can do with that kind of might, that kind of power? Well, the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show is on a mission to help harness that energy, that power, to point it in the right direction so that when summer starts and our little darling children come out looking for jobs, their little bright eyes and enthusiasm and hopes and dreams are high and bubbly, we don't want to dash those dreams by looking at them and say, well, look here, my community doesn't have the jobs to offer you, so let's load you up into the car and drive you to somebody else's community so they can hate up on you, treat you like dirt, doesn't give the respect you need. That just makes me mad. So I'm not about complaining about it. I'm about doing something about it. So if you want to talk about what the mission of the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show is in a nutshell, then that's it. Stop all this complaining and whining. Leave it to somebody else. Alright, I had to get that out. This is the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show. I'm Robert Gatewood, the host. I'm here every Friday, 10:30 a.m. If you want to join us, please. Welcome to all of the new listeners. The number is 1-800-450-7876. 1-800-450-7876. I also have it in the booth. One of my right hands, Miss Lena Seven. Lena Seven.
Yes.
Welcome to the booth, Lena.
How are you?
Boy.
Fine.
Having a ball. Look at this beautiful weather.
I know. It's 80 degrees this week. You know, I actually, did some classes outside this week. So
wait, oh, you're outside again, are you?
Yeah, I'm already outside. So I'm hoping that I can kind of continue it. But, you know, if I can't, we'll bring it in for a day or so. But I'm sure that, the weather is here.
Tell folks what you do out there in those classes.
You know what? I do a variety of things. And that's really what I'm going to be talking about. During the word is...
I don't want to blow it for you now.
Yeah, and I'm not going to talk about it now, but I'm just saying some of the things that I do, because I've had some of people who attend my boot camps, and they're like, well, we don't do this, we don't do that, we don't do this. And so that's something that I'm going to address, why certain things are not done in my boot camps, and what do I do to compensate for some of that stuff. So, that's one thing. And then also my, everyone knows I'm pursuing my sports casting career. So I've been, down at the Wizards, covering the Wizards. Obviously, they're on their road trip. As we prepare for the playoffs, they're working very hard, in the background. Yeah, they're still in it. They're about two games out now. They were one game out, but now they're like two games beyond.
It's a little tougher.
It's a little tough. I mean, it's so, the West is so good, and, it's hard. They can't beat some of the teams that share like the first, second, Cleveland. They're having trouble. So, and then Bradley Beal, some issues with him about staying healthy. So, and that's the shooting guard for them. So, it really makes it a little difficult. But nonetheless, we're still trying to make it happen. We'll see.
It sounds like you have your hands full. But what I like about it, Elena Sablin, and that's what I'm going to talk about on the sermon later on today, is about risk.
Yep.
Risk and how Boy, I tell you, this is going to be very powerful because I sent out a tweet this morning, and it's called Fortune Favors the Bold. Fortune favors the bold. And what that means...
Fortune favors the bold? Like a bowl?
The bold, B-O-L-D. The bold, the courageous.
Oh, the bold. Oh, got you. B-O-L-D.
Fortune
okay.
favors the
yes!
courageous.
Oh, bold. That's the new word, I think.
And I'm going to say this and give you something to marinate on until we get to that segment. I want you to...
Okay.
You might even write this down or put it up there in your...
Memory bank. Yep.
If...
Okay.
If you don't take risk in life, you will always find yourself working for people who do.
Yes. So true.
I want you to listen to this out there to think about that for a minute.
But it's not, but you know what, Robert, to be honest, it's not always an easy road, though.
Ladies and you happen to make my
case. Gotta take the risk.
It's not an easy, I'm going to tell you right now, it's not an easy road. We don't have to apologize for that. I'm telling you, it is not an easy road. But another thing I'm going to talk about is the concept of barrier to entry and thresholds. When you are taking the easy road, you are just handing your business, your opportunities to your competition. You make it easier for your competition and everybody else. The harder you make it for yourself, the harder you make it for other people to overtake you or to match you. So, yes, I agree 100%. It's not easy. And that is, you are making my point. So, that's coming up later on the, what's the word? Like, welcome to the booth, Mr. James Silver. Welcome, James.
Good morning. How's everyone this fine morning?
Doing just wonderful. Doing wonderful. James is our in-house computer expert. Man, James he's really gotten the curiosity and interest of our listeners. And he brings us information on computer technology, security, anything related to computers. And so his information is so valuable to our business listeners that he's just a regular now. Every second Friday of the month, we bring in Mr. Sid. What are you going to talk about today, James? I don't want to give it away, but give us a teaser.
Windows 10.
Oh, no, not the dreaded one. James.
Windows 10,
oh,
though,
Windows
he says.
10.
James, I'm going to tell you, I don't get a day. I don't get a day in the week that somebody doesn't call me and say, have you loaded Windows 10 yet? Or they started loading it and they got stuck and they didn't realize they're going to do this and that and the other. So I am so glad that this is actually going to be addressed. Linda Sam doesn't even know what it's all about. So
I know.
She's like, what? You better, when you hear this or you hear Jane later on in the show, you're going to find out why people are always calling me, asking me about this Windows 10. I mean, one of my best clients contacted me back in about 6 months ago. And he was just pulling what little hair he had out, talking about he was fighting Windows 10. So anyway, that's coming up later in the show. James, I'm glad you're going to tackle that topic today. Windows 10, the old dreaded. Well, I'm going to have my notes out because I haven't done it yet. But I've been, every day somebody said, have you done it yet? And then,
you're not at Windows 10, where should you be?
I'm
if you
gonna,
haven't quite caught up.
James going to tell us coming up at the 11 o'clock hour. So I'll be waiting on that. You're listening to the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show. I am Robert Gatewood, your host. The number is 1-800-450-7876. 1-800-450-7876. A few things that's been happening since the last time we talked. We had the first Friday. That was on March 4th. We had another packed house. It's so funny how the first Friday worked. It's almost like a church revival.
Oh, that's good.
We have the people that bring the food. And this reminds me of my dad when I was, my dad was a minister. The show Marketing Pulpit was named in his honor. We go to church on Sundays and on then you have a revival. And you have certain people in the church that bring food. They bring chicken, they bring cakes, they bring pies. And this Friday was, past Friday was no exception. The last Friday we had prior to this we had the patty pie, sweet potato pie. This first Friday we had peach cobbler. Oh my goodness. I know Lena Sam, I know that. They call you a flip. Call you do backwards flips.
Well, I know you had a quarter of a piece.
A quarter of a pie, not a quarter of a piece.
He had the whole quarter.
It was like a big old, you know, those catering trays.
Oh, yeah, it was real long.
The big one. And we dipped that cobbler. We put it in a little plate so people came back, of course, as always. I think maybe the first Friday visitors are trying to protect me because they eat it up before I can get to it. It's almost like they're trying to save me, Elena. I go out here and do a little network and come back. I know there's a whole tray of peach cobbler back there. I come back, there's only like a couple of a little corner left. I thought, man, they must have been doing that for me.
Yeah, but I have a feeling you worked out something with the caterer.
Okay, so you have his own little stash back there.
Yeah, own little stash.
You guys know me too well. Of course I must have my stash. So anyway, the first Friday has become this, it's almost like a surprise now what's going to be there, because that's why it's not like any other networking event. Between the people that show up, we had about 7 new people to show up. Just from every walk of life. We had attorney Carmise Graves. She has a show on the, comes on every Tuesday at 10 o'clock. She made an appearance. She's stuck in there the whole time, and people just mobbed her after the, when we started the networking. She gave a great little presentation. We had Miss India Thibodeau. She was on the show last Friday. She came out to talk about solar energy and the solar panels. So you know the thing that caught my attention. I'm still with that thing about the roof.
Yeah.
Getting a free roof.
A free roof. I know.
Because the D.C. and Maryland now has like a mandate. They got to get 20% solar. And I guess to reach those goals, they are helping people get those panels put on their roofs. And which means they're helping finance people who get, if it means putting on a new roof, then that's one of the things that's happening. So also Miss India Thibodeau, she was the guest. Go to marketingpulpit.com. She's on the homepage. You can still reach out to her if you have questions about solar energy and some of the things that she has to offer. Also our good guests are BLE Executive Suites. They have another open house. They open
National
that office
Harbor?
Yeah, at National Harbor. Now, this time, the Prince George's County Chamber of Commerce is actually sponsoring it. They're coming out. They're going to do an actual formal ribbon cutting. And it's so big that BLE is closing down their Largo office for 4 hours. It's going to be between 11:30, I think, at 2:30 in the afternoon. So it's going to be about 3 hours event. And I'm, again, supposed to be there emceeing and kind of keeping things moving. So that's going to be at the National Harbor.
What day?
That's
what day?
15th. 15th of Tuesday, 11:30 a.m. So come on out, get yourself a sandwich. If nothing else, you can get some free lunch. I'm not sure they're going to have peach cobbler, but at the last event they had some very delicious food. So come on out. That's it. The first.
And you don't even have to worry about the parking down at National Harbor because it's up above,
that's
right?
That's right. It's right there on Austin Hill Road near Tanger Outlet.
Yeah.
So you're close enough to the harbor to get the benefits of being at the harbor, but you're also far away that you can get the benefits of having that free parking and easy access right off that ramp. Hit Austin Hill Road, boom, you're right there. And that place is really hooked up. So if you need an office, if you need someone to answer your phones, if you need a mail service, BLE has the answer for you. They have the offices in Austin Hill now in Largo, and the ones in Largo at 9701 Apollo Drive. Both locations are extremely convenient. The services are just out of this world. I have never made a smarter business move probably in my life than I did when I decided to go over to BLE. And now I walk around, I mean, the big old conference room, even though I have a suite, it's like the whole suite is yours. You walk in the conference room, you can sit there and stare out the window and meditate. You got the kitchen over here. You got the receptionist. Everybody knows your name. The mail comes in. It's a great hookup. So if you're looking for a location to take your business up a level, call 301-322-1700. That's 301-322-1700. Or go to BLESuites.com. BLESuites.com. I do want to shout out to our other host, William Maxwell. He's off today. He'll be back next week. Also, we have our host in New York, Mr. Dennis Chipman. We have our host in Charlotte, North Carolina, Ms. Sharon Bennett. On Wednesday, we have Mr. Poncho Brown in Baltimore. And Thursday, we have Miss Dr. Florida Bell Griffin out of Houston, Texas, and Leon Gatewood out of Waynesboro, North Carolina. It's a Holler Center. Friday, we have Mr. Ray Razor and the Disability Show. And on Saturdays, we have Mr. Dave Owens and Coach Howard. They're doing the Extra Points Show. And we bring you those shows through the blog talk. And then, of course, we have our guest host, Mr. Silva. We have Miss Velocity. I'll be back next week talking about accounting. And on the fourth Friday, we have Miss Charette Gordon. And this coming fourth Friday, we're also going to have Alina Seven.
Yes.
Taking the driver's seat. So stay tuned, folks. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back after the break and hear Alina Seven. What's the word? This is the Marketing Pulpit. Right back after the break.
1450 WOL.
Good morning, it's WOL traffic update.
Welcome you back to the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show. I'm in the studio, Mr. James Silver.
Good morning.
And Lena Seven.
Yep, right here.
I am Robert Gatewood, your host. The number is 1-800-450-7876. 1-800-450-7876. And go to marketingpulpit.com. And you can also jump into our free business directory. Also, like us on Twitter, so you can get the tweets on what the show is going to be about. I tweeted out this morning about Mr. Silver's Windows 10 and about risk. I said, fortune favors the bold or the courageous. I was talking briefly about this this concept of barriers to entry. I want to talk about that just quickly again before we get to Lena 7. When it's too easy, anything in business, when it's too easy to acquire or accomplish, there's no reason to be spiking the ball or patting yourself on the back. You should be worried, because if it's easy for you, just know, folks, it's easy for everybody else. There's a reason people spend about $1 million to start a successful restaurant. We call that a barrier to entry. For one, you are protected from everybody who doesn't have $1 million. So that means everybody's not going to be your competition. Only the ones that have $1 million that are willing to risk it are going to be in that group. So you, as part of a business owner, what you should constantly be doing, and I was when I was consulting with Diet to Go for many years, one of our main focuses every day when we woke up in the morning, we were concentrating on how to build additional barriers to entry, how to keep the enemies outside the gate. And you do that by building barriers to entry. And I'm going to do a segment on that in the coming weeks on ways to do that. But I just want you to know, folks who are over there saying, look, hey, man, I just got this new easy, I went on the blind and downloaded this free app. Man, that was so easy. Man, I'm ready to make $1 million. It ain't going to happen. Sorry. That is not a barrier to entry. You're taking the easy route, and it's not going to favor you. So I want to just know that's coming. If you want to join in the discussion today, call us at 1-800-450-7876. 1-800-450-7876. We're going to get to Elena 7. And what's the word? Elena 7?
Yes.
What is the word?
Well, it's fat, fat, and more fat. But before I get to that, I just wanted to follow up on something you said about bold, because I just was having a conversation. My daughter is in Panama, and she's getting ready to play her doubles partner in like a singles semifinals, you know, a hard, very hard tournament, you know. And I just had the conversation with her about, you know, a lot of you have to go out and step out of your comfort zone.
Yes.
You cannot see your doubles partner, who is her friend, who is her roommate,
right,
you know, in Panama. You can't see her
right
as who she is in your life right now.
Yeah.
You have to take her face, and you got to make some bold steps. So we were just kind of going over that. And even when it comes to competition on any level, whether it's athletics, whether you're opening up a business, whether you're stepping out and embarking on like a new career.
Well,
you know, you got to take those bold steps sometimes and walk out on faith and just know that, you know what, this is something I'm honestly going to work towards. I put the passion, I've put the knowledge behind it, I've done all the background, you know, that I needed to, and I'm going to put forth the effort and see where it goes. And I'll tell you what, I did that a few times, and you know what, I landed on my butt a couple of times.
And you will.
Literally landed on my butt. You know, but then after I kind of got my foot in, you know, my footing, and I was like, okay, I'm doing. And then after things just started to happen. But trust me, two things happened to me that were, you know, when I stepped out, I walked away from a, you know, consistent job, and I, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And I took a step out there, and it was like, you know.
Girl, let me tell you, people like you are my hero. Because the fear, this fear is usually xenophobic. It's not a real fear. But the fear should not be the fear of failure. Your biggest fear should be being in the same place 5 years from now. That's what you should fear. If you want to fear something, that's a real fear.
That's the fear.
That's what you should be fearing. You look up 5 years from now, you say, you know what? I haven't moved one inch. If you want something to fear, there you go.
Yep. So anyway, just wanted to say that.
Great.
So this is now. Do you know that you are born and you collect your fat cells until puberty?
Uh-oh.
You collect all your fat cells till you're, and then once at puberty, till about somewhere between puberty and maybe adulthood, you don't get any more fat cells.
So I don't get fat anymore. I'm safe. Hey!
I'm not saying that those fat cells like that, don't expand. But I'm saying that basically you have your fat cells.
So you have your cells, but they might grow a little bit.
They may grow in size, but you are not going to get any more fat cells than basically what you have from the time you reach puberty till about somewhere between 19, 20, 21. Those are your fat cells, and those are the ones you will live with for the rest of your life. Okay?
How can I get now, more or less? Can I get more or less fat cells? Is there a rule on that?
Well, yeah, you can. There's also cosmetic surgery, and that's what cosmetic surgery does. It takes away the fat, but it takes away the fat cells. So when women or men or whatever have, you know, their waist, you know, they get lipo on their waist or their hips or their thighs or whatever, they won't get fat in that place anymore.
Okay?
You understand what I'm saying? They won't get fat in that place. Now, that's not to say that their fat cells will not grow in other areas, and they can develop fat in other areas, and their fat cells will grow. Okay,
they might get a fat head, or
they might get you could get fat. I'm telling you, you don't know where that fat is gonna go, though.
Okay,
that's the scary part about it. Now, you may not have fat on your thighs anymore, but now all of a sudden your butt gets bigger, your waist, you start getting love handles, or you start getting it in other places. So, I say that to say that this is reachable if you want to lose weight. It is within your control.
Okay.
It's hard to do. I get that. But it is within your control. Okay?
All right.
So some of the things that you can do to reduce those fat cells. So just remember, when you're trying to lose weight, all you're doing is reducing the fat cells in size. That's all you're doing. The cells are not going to go anywhere.
Okay?
So all you're doing is reducing the size. And sometimes when you break it down like that to people, they seem to feel like it is more of a reachable goal than, in fact, it is beyond their control.
Hmm.
You see what I'm saying? When you break it down to show them that that's all you're doing is reducing the size of that fat cell. That's all you're doing. It's not going to go anywhere. Okay? So these are some of the things that you can do. Okay?
To reduce the fat cells.
To reduce fat cells in size. Okay?
But you're not going to get rid of the cells altogether.
You're not going to get rid of
them.
No, unless you go have surgery and get them out. And let me tell you something. Surgery, cosmetic surgery, can only go 2 inches deep.
They can't cut off like 5 inches? Or...
No. Cannot do that. They can only go about 2 inches deep. Never heard of it going beyond that. That's when you start getting, you know, I don't know, maybe some doctors don't, but really they're supposed to only go 2 inches deep into your waist.
They cannot
take the fat that exists underneath the muscle. You have fat underneath the muscle and you have fat above the muscle. Cosmetic surgery deals solely with the fat above the muscle.
I'm about a 34 waist now. I can't cut it down to like a 28.
You can if you go and have it lipo, or, you know, this soft lipo. Now you can go in on your lunch break and go back to work. I mean, they got all kinds of stuff. But what you can do is one, okay? Now, this is going to sound crazy, but a lot of people do this simply because it does keep their weight down. Coffee.
Oh, I do that every day.
Coffee reduces.
Hey.
If you stop drinking coffee, you may gain weight. You never know, because you'll go on to something else. But really, coffee has, they list coffee as like one of the top things to keep fat cells down from growing. Okay, as long as you don't load it up with like a lot of sugar and you know.
See, every time you get some good advice, you turn around and neutralize it.
Well, you just put it this way. You can't kick the coffee habit.
By the time I'm done, I have a hot milkshake.
Just go get some organic coffee or something. I mean, good grief. Okay.
Great.
Now, the other thing is, obviously, you have to exercise. Okay. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is to get yoga. If you do not like to exercise, I never talk about yoga, but yoga is really, really important because it is, you know, it really challenges you to really hold your body up. It's no different than doing like planks.
Okay.
For real. You know what I'm saying? So that's huge. The other thing is that they talk about is to use, it's called safflower oil.
Okay.
That also helps if you sprinkle that. And it also helps, by the way, it also helps your hair too. Mm-hmm. So safflower oil.
Wait, back. Would it help it grow?
Would
it come back?
Yeah. James and I have a serious interest in that part.
You know what? There is this product called Hairfinity, though.
Can I pour it on my head?
Is that... You can, and try to see what it does. But there's also this product called Hairfinity that is growing women's hair like crazy. I'm going to show it to you on my phone.
Okay.
Okay, with Hairfinity, okay? And then also, you need fiber, lots of fiber in your diet, and that will help reduce. Because what happens is that when you eat a lot of fiber, it makes you fuller longer.
That's true. That's true.
Okay? It really does. So what happens is that it helps to reduce those fat cells. So those are just a few things. And then you need like a high intensity if you can. But if you cannot do a high intensity, then definitely do, you know, some resistance training with yoga. And then also keep in mind that, you know, I have a lot of people in my class, Alina, we don't do enough crunches, and we got to do sit-ups. I want my waist tight, and I want to lose the fat. You cannot do crunches to get rid of fat off your waist.
Oh.
Fat crunches do not get off fat. All crunches do is reduce the, you know, it reduces your inches a little bit, but to get the fat that exists off of that muscle, it's got to be burned off, okay? You cannot get fight fat with just crunches. You got to burn it off, and that is by doing running some stairs, going out, walking outside, raising your heart rate, and doing what people normally do. The only thing that crunches are going to do is make people like, people like Mayweather's abs look stronger. People whose core is already defined.
Yeah, like me and Mayweather, right?
I'm just saying, a boxer whose core is already defined works, you know. Anyway, you can reach out more information. You can also reach me at alina7.com.
All right, Alina 7, thanks a lot. I'm going to get my... Me and Mayweather, we got a little workout here to do so I can get my crunches. And all right, folks, this is the Marketing Pulpit. We'll be right back after the break. We're going to have James Silver talking about Windows 10, the pros and cons. Marketing Pulpit, we'll be right back after the break. 14. Welcome you back to the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show. Go to marketingpulpit.com and check out the many things we're doing here. You can see the guest. You see the host. You see Alina 7. You see me. You can see Mr. Silver. He's right there on the homepage. You also find his contact information. He's going to bring us some information about his pros and cons of Windows 10. Now, he's got me all nervous over here. I'm not sure.
Me too.
If I'm being a pro or a con right now, because I haven't done it. I'm scared. I need my computer, James. I need it. Whatever. Tell us why. What should we be doing with this Windows 10? Tell us what the problem is and what you recommend.
Good morning again. Good morning. This morning, Windows 10. So many of my clients are coming to me lately and talking about Windows 10. In fact, I just had one just yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
She tried for hours to try to get this Windows 10 working, and never did. I went there and did it for 2 hours. I was like, I give up. That's it.
Wow.
I give up on it.
But you know, the problem is, James, most people just see it. They just assume that if you push the button, it's going to be like a... Because so many things, when you do updates and upgrades, you push the button, you walk, get your coffee, come back, it's done.
Not that simple. And a lot of times, there's hardware issues that cause people to have this problem. Everybody who has these computer systems, and the icon comes up. Mm-hmm. Like, I have a computer at home that has Windows 7 on it. Mm-hmm. I tried to upgrade it. It won't even upgrade. It says my hardware is too old.
What?
And most people don't realize that. The ones that come to me, and they after they get it upgraded or something, if they get it upgraded, then the printer doesn't work.
Oh. Ooh, see.
They got, a lot of times you have to buy new
equipment. You just scared me away right now.
You have to buy new equipment. And it's I tell them, in that case, it might be just better for you just to say, scrap what you got. Scrap the equipment that you got. Go buy a new computer that has Windows 10 on it, as opposed to upgrading it. But a lot of people come to me, they want to be upgraded. They want them upgraded. They want these things. And these, I just want to go over a couple of things to talk about why upgrade or why not to upgrade.
All right.
The first thing I want to talk about is it Windows 10.
Hey, James, let me give the information for anybody who wants to call in and ask you a question. You listen to James Selby. He's talking about Windows 10, the pros and cons. I'm sure many of you have been faced with this over the past few weeks and months. The number is 1-800-450-7876. 1-800-450-7876. If you have a question about our guest host, Mr. James Selby.
Okay. One of the biggest problems that we have is Windows 10. Windows is the largest operating system in the world.
The world.
in the world. And the hackers know that, so they go after and attack the Windows operating system. That's why you don't hear about too many Apples or iOS systems getting hacked. They're not the big player in the market.
They're the big target, right?
Okay? But they're becoming a target.
Okay.
Because as they become more popular, they're going to become more of a target.
Okay.
Just want to let you know that. We're not, that's a
separate conversation.
Separate conversation over there. But anyway,
since
they are the biggest player, the hackers are going out there. And what Windows 10 did, it added another layer of security to those who do have Windows 10 to help protect them from the hackers.
Hey, James, would it be safe to say that many of the upgrades you see on software and apps has to do with security and patching up the vulnerabilities?
Well, most upgrades take place because someone has found a vulnerability in the software.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so when they find a vulnerability, they send Microsoft that says, oh, we breached your software. So Microsoft comes up with a patch and says, here's the security fix for this.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the security fix for that. So they have a security fix for these problems. So that's why you get updates.
Okay.
Or any kind of updates you have is usually a fix to a problem in the software.
Yeah, because I know I deal with that a lot in web development. We get a lot of upgrades to the software, the plugin, like in WordPress.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, 9 times out of 10, it has to do with security, it's a security patch.
Most these things happen all the time. This is security issues. Because they have security issues, they have to get these patches to fix them.
So if you don't upgrade your system, what happens?
Then those same vulnerabilities that was in the system prior to that, these hackers can attack your computer system and use your system as a platform to attack other entities. So it looks like if the government systems was attacked, it doesn't look like it came from someplace in China or Russia or someplace like that. It looks like it came from someplace within the United States because of your vulnerabilities on your system, and now they attack your system, and they use your system as a platform to attack other systems.
So they come in, really take over your system now, and now you're, when they get something from you, it looks familiar. So they're more likely to open it, more likely to use it, and then that's when they bring in that malware and viruses. So that's...
Okay. So we talked about the pro for why you upgrade to Windows 10.
Okay.
The con is the problem I'm having with this one client. The failed updates. It could have crashed your system completely. Completely. And if it crashed your system completely, then she can't even get back onto her data that she had before.
She's lost it all.
Well, maybe not lost it, but she can't get... She has to reinstall everything back onto it. So it may not... If you're having problems trying to upgrade, it may not be in your... It may not be to your advantage to even upgrade at all. Oh. If your system is running and is running properly and you're happy with it,
That's what I'm about to ask you. I get all these people asking me. I'm like, well, am I fixing a problem that's not there? But what about the security issue? Let's say I'm not having a problem.
Other ways of doing security.
Okay.
Use your Norton. Use your McAfee's. Use your antivirus software to do the protections on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, use some malware protection software that's going to help get rid of the malware that's on the machine. And you're going to get malware on your machines. There's nothing we can do about it. All we can do is just say, try to find ways to get rid of it. Now, Congress needs to do something to help us keep this spyware off our machines. But until that happens, until they implement laws that help protect the ISPs protect us, then there's nothing we're going to be able to do but try to remove it once it's there.
So what you're saying, and I like this approach. So if you have a system that's working, I think I'm on Windows 7, working like a charm. So instead of, rather than taking the risk of loading Windows 10 and possibly shutting down my system, can't use my printer anymore, now I got to go ahead and upgrade my hardware.
That's what happened to me.
Build a stronger firewall around that system with software like Norton and
McAfee
and so forth.
Exactly. Build that firewall around what you have already. Protect what you have already, as opposed to trying to upgrade it. Now, I have two systems that got Windows 10 on it, and I love it. I love Windows 10. But if you don't, but there's a learning curve. So if you're not willing to learn some new things, because things are in different places.
What is the main difference, Windows 10 and Windows?
Okay, Windows 10 incorporated the best of Windows 7 and Windows 8 into a new facelift. It had a facelift of Windows 10.
So it looks different.
It looks different. When people come onto it, Windows 10 and Windows 8 and Windows 10 is designed for a touchscreen.
Okay.
We're moving, our society is moving towards everything touchscreens. Every touch, the tablets, the phones, everything is going to be touchscreens. So Windows 10 is designed for those touchscreen computers. And if you don't have a touchscreen computer, you see these blocks that comes up on your screen, and you're like, what is this? We don't know what it is. And people calling me and says, James, I don't want this. How do I go back to Windows, what I had before? And people calling me and said, I want to go back. So those are issues that I'm facing every day, is how to go back or what to do from them. Those who do have Windows 10 on them, I said, let's not try to go back. Let's try to learn what you do. And I teach a class to teach you how to use Windows 10 and how to utilize what you do have already. And I try to help them with learning things of that nature.
How does that impact, like, Word?
Word is a program,
right?
Not the operating system. The operating system is is the instructions to communicate with the actual hardware. And then you put a program like Microsoft Office on top of the...
But sometimes it changes it. It changes the way
you... It changes the many ways it looks, but it's not changing the actual program itself.
So you can, if you're running Microsoft Office 2007, upgrading to Windows 10 is not going to make that not work anymore.
No, it's not. It's still going to work. Now, if you upgrade to Windows 10, I would suggest you maybe want to upgrade your Office software also, which is an additional expense. So you don't upgrade your PC, the hard software. Now you probably need to go out and purchase another Office 365 or Windows 2, was it Office 2013?
Why?
So if you're using, like, let's say somebody just...
Security reasons.
Okay. Heaven forbid somebody's coming out of Windows XP and they say, well, I'm going to go from Windows XP to Office.
Won't work. Won't work.
Not going to work.
You got to scrap your hardware.
Oh.
Windows XP, if anybody's operating Windows XP, Microsoft stopped support of Windows XP in 2014.
Okay. Right.
They're going to stop Vista in 2017. So anybody who has Vista, we need to think about, you need to move away from that equipment this year, because next year Microsoft is going to stop support. What that means is they're not going to put any more patches out. They're not going to, if they have any vulnerabilities in it, you're not going to fix anything that's with Vista after next year.
Let me go back to, you may have covered this the last time you were here. Somebody has Windows XP, and people say vulnerability. I mean, I have an old computer at home that has Windows XP on it. I log into it every now and then. Every time I do it, I'm kind of like nervous. I mean, should I be nervous? What can happen?
All right, so you got XP.
Mm-hmm.
Do you use email on it?
Yeah.
Okay, everybody that you have sent out emails from that machine is exposed to whatever viruses, whatever spyware that's on your machine, you can send out to them.
Okay, good thing I haven't used it in a while.
that's the bottom line. Now,
I'm like, Robert, didn't you just send me an email?
Which computer did you use, right?
I did not send out... To all my listeners, I did not send you an email from that computer.
Okay.
That's good to know, though. Because I've had people ask me that exact question. I have this old computer upstairs in the attic, and every now and then I'll plug it in. It still works. I can still open up the internet on it. But you're saying you're exposing everybody on there whose email address is on that machine.
Everybody's who you send out emails. So you don't have to even send it out.
Mm-hmm.
Because the hackers can probably already be on your machine, and they can attack your machines, and they can send things out from your machine. They can use your machine as a launch pad to do other things.
And I know there's something you're going to talk about on another show, but the difference between a spoof and an actual somebody, I'm just kind of dropping that in your ear.
Okay, gotcha.
I've seen there's a spoof email where it looks like it's somebody's actually using your account, but it's not. Then somebody's actually got into your account, and what the difference is, and I get that question a lot, too.
Perfect example. There's sometimes you may get an email from a bank saying, we need you to update your bank account information.
Right. Oh, yeah.
It's phony. It's not real. It's not someone who's hacked into that and has sent that out to. It looks like it's real.
And they didn't actually hack into the bank's account.
They didn't have to.
They did the spoof.
All they're doing is saying now, it says, we are Bank of America and whatever the bank is. and we're sending you this mail. We just need you to update it. Bank of America or banks are not going to call, not going to send you an email,
right,
and ask you to update your information.
Yep.
They're not going to do this. So if you're getting emails like this, then don't reply to it. Ignore it, delete it, get rid of it right away.
Yeah, yeah, I get it.
Citibank has that everywhere. Mm. Do not.
Do not.
So, so by not having the this kind of wrap this whole, put this thing in a nice bundle. By going to Windows 10, you're making yourself less vulnerable to the threats of hackers and malware and all these viruses and so forth. But by not doing it, you're increasing your exposure. But you need to take some type of remedial steps to minimize that risk.
Exactly.
And if you're using XP, you just need to cut it out.
If you're using Vista.
Okay. Oh, you know what? One question before you go. What are your thoughts on online banking in general?
The online banking is more secured today than it's ever been.
Okay.
They use the encryption software on it because what happens, your signal is encrypted from your PC to the bank. Make sure that you're using the HTTPS when you go to any secure website. If you're using your credit card on any site, you make sure that it says HTTPS on the in the address bar.
Ooh,
and if you don't understand, and most people don't understand what the address bar is on their web browser, but there's a bar that says www. That's the call, the address bar. And make sure you say www.s, or that's the secure site, and that means that site has been encrypted.
Okay.
And that site is like creating a tunnel to that site, and so that nobody can get inside that tunnel except for you and the bank account. So, yes, I use online banking all the time.
Okay.
All right. Mr. Silver, tell people how they can find out more about you and this great service you provide. I'm really honored to have you as one of our guest hosts to bring this valuable information to our listeners. How can people find you directly?
You can reach me at solutions@jesilver.com, which is my email address. It's solutions with an S on the end of that at jesilver.com. My website will be jesilver.com. Phone number, you can reach me at 301-325-1709.
All right. That's James Silver with Silver Solutions. James brings us valuable information on the second Friday of every month. And so today we talked about Windows 10. And if you need more information with that, you have an old system, you have some hardware issues, you're having viruses, your computer slowed down, then you need to call this brother and have him come out and look at your system. We come back, we're going to talk about this risk.
Oh.
Boy, let me tell you. Fear of regret is worse than the fear of failure.
Yep.
I talk to folks who are sitting there in their 40s and they're saying to themselves, I wish I had done things differently. That's a common theme.
Wow.
We're going to talk about that when we come back. This is the Marketing Pulpit. Be right back after the break.
1450 WOL.
Good morning, it's W.
Alrighty, I'd like to welcome you back to the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show. We are here every Friday at 10:30 a.m. bringing you the good marketing gospel. We're focusing on business development, job creation, and service. I have in studio, Ms. Selena Seven.
Yes, right here.
Mr. James Silver.
Good morning again.
All righty. Thank you guys for joining us in the booth. We're having a great show here. I want to talk about risk today because as a business developer, I help companies start. I help companies grow. I help companies go to another level. And I can say without hesitation that the ones who have exceeded or been the ones who've been willing to take risks. If you look back on your career, if you're in your 40s or so, and you look back on your career, the most common regret a lot of people say is that I wish I had been a little braver, I wish I had trusted myself a little more, and I wish I had been a little less cautious and taken more chances. Now, it's never too late. That's why I'm bringing this to you today. Many people are at that crossroad. If I had only been a little more courageous, where would I be? As humans, we are kind of programmed and wired to be risk-averse. it's much easier to settle it with the status quo, to keep our mouths closed, keep our heads down, than to make a change, to take a chance, to speak up, or even be courageous. And I said earlier, if you don't take risk, you may always find yourself working for somebody who does take a risk. You ever look around sometime, you look at people and you say to yourself, how that sucker always doing more than me? He's making more than me. How this sucker, how am I working for this guy? I have more degrees. I have more experience. But sometimes, folks, it's not that that person is smarter than you. That person is more willing to take a risk than you. So before you call the EEOC or before you call this person, he got favor, you want to evaluate yourself first. You have to put that mirror up and look at it before you start blaming and pointing fingers at everybody else. We're too quick to blame other folks before we look at the mirror. That person just may have been a little more courageous than you. Now, that's a bitter pill for some people to swallow.
Hey, Rob, what are you saying? Of course there's all these other things that work against me. Yes, they are.
There's always racism, there's favoritism, there's sexism, there's homophobic people out here. All of that is happening. But before you can tackle any of those issues, you have to look at yourself. The primary reason people don't take risks is the fear of failure. But I say before you start fearing failure, you need to fear that you're going to be at the same place a few years from now, that you haven't moved that needle one iota. Now, that's something to fear if you ask me. I'm not fearing failure. I've failed so many times, I can't even enumerate. I wake up in the morning saying, give me something else to fail so I can learn from it. It's a mindset. Ladies, I'm shaking her head because she already alluded to it. She's falling on her behind too many times to count probably also. And I'm sure Mr. James Hill had the same story. We all do. All of us entrepreneurs, we have somehow have tackled that fear head on. And now we have a success story for others to emulate. When I decided to start the Marketing Pulpit radio show, you think that wasn't some fear? That was a little apprehension? But I'm saying to myself, what's the worst thing that can happen? They're not going to line me up and shoot me if I fail. No. Here I am 6 years later, and this show has been a tremendous success because I was able to take some risk. And you can, too. Well, let's look at this risk thing for a minute. I'm going to tell you why people don't take the risk and what we should do about it to overcome it. Well, the first thing we do, we overestimate the probability that something is going to go wrong. I'm going to think about that for a minute. We are wired to think that the worst is going to happen. We are wired to think in terms of worst case scenario. Oh my goodness, I'm going to lose my house. My kid won't be able to go to school. The business is going to fail. Nobody's going to call me. It's overestimated. It's exaggerated. Believe me on this. The risk always loom larger than they actually are. They are always loom larger. Now, the second one, similar to what I said earlier, we exaggerate the consequences of what's going to happen if they don't go right. They don't shoot you. They don't line you up and shoot you. Take a long time before you actually lose your home. They don't come put a padlock on your business and throw you out in the street and tar and feather you. That is not what's going to happen. Usually, if it doesn't work, the consequences are rarely as bad as you think they are.
As you imagine.
I mean, we have to think. You think of a terrible thing.
I know.
I'm going to be homeless.
My imagination kicks in.
Are they afraid of risk of succeeding?
It could be that, James. I'm telling you. Because, I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
I'm sure James and Elena can relate to this. Of all the businesses that we've tried and didn't work, here we are today, still standing. We're healthy. We have our health, our wealth. We did not go homeless. Nobody came. We didn't die. They didn't chop off our heads because we failed. Here we are still standing. We're probably doing just as well, if not better than a lot of folks who have taken no risk. So that it's overestimated, it's exaggerated, the consequences. One, the first one is the probability that it's going to go wrong in the first place is exaggerated. The second thing, the consequences is terribly over-exaggerated. They don't shoot you and kill you. You will live to see another day. Now, here's one that points to self. This points to self where you really have to do a gut check on yourself. We underestimate our ability to handle the consequences of the risk.
Wow.
Think about it.
Yeah, we do.
We sit there and say, well, God, we sit there some passive observer. Like, we can't exactly affect the outcome. When things start to go wrong, they don't just happen overnight. You don't wake up in the morning and say, wow, my business failed. Now I'm homeless. That's that worst case scenario. It happens gradually. You have the ability to right the ship. Think about that. When you start seeing sales drop off, you have the ability to do something to make them stop going off the chart, to make them go back up. That means you may have to call some people you know. That means you have to partner. You may have to partner with somebody. You may have to change direction. But that is not this precipice, this cliff that you just fall off that you have no control over. You have a stake in. You have the ability to affect the outcome. So that goes to that belief in yourself.
Right, but it's the stress in the midst of that that I think handicaps people.
That's right.
Right there, and it's like somewhere in the middle, that stress, man, starts eating away.
That's right. You're right. So think about this. So before you start overestimating the probability that something's going to go wrong, let's say I overestimated that. You exaggerate the consequences. But this number three is very important. You do have the ability to affect the outcome. You're not some passive bystander. Okay, so you can actually prevent it from going off the cliff. And the number four, and this is very important also, we discount or deny the cost of inaction. You don't be one of those folks 3 or 4 years from now, 5, 10 years from now, saying, wow, if I had only taken some risk, it does have a real cost. By sticking with that status quo and not taking those risks, you are actually putting yourself at an economic disadvantage. So this is what I want you to do. I'm going to leave you with these thoughts. Ask yourself, what would I do if I were being more courageous? What would I be doing differently if I would just had a little bit more boldness and had a little more courageousness? What will inaction cost me a year from now if I do nothing? If I just keep on the same old safe path for the next year, and the year after that, what is that actually going to cost me in terms of my success, in terms of my income potential, in terms of my life in general? And where is this fear? Where is it coming from that's causing me to overestimate, to exaggerate? Where is it coming from? Is it hanging around the wrong people? Is it not getting the information? You can fix this if you can identify the source of this fear and attack it. I found a lot of people they're just around the wrong people. People are feeding that information in their head. Oh, girl, you don't want to do that. You got to keep that good job. You got to do this because I know somebody that this happened to. I know somebody that started a business, they lost their... Get away from those people. Believe it, they're bad for you. They are bad for you. Now, we can go through life trying to avoid risk, but it's not worth all the beans in the world if you put all of your faith and your possibilities in the hands of somebody else. You have to be the one to do this. You have to be the one to figure out why you're not taking these risks, and you're the only one that can fix it. So, folks, that's my sermon for today. Risk. Fortune favors the courageous. Folks, we're going to be back next week. This is The Marketing Pulpit. We're here every Friday, 10:30 a.m. Go to marketingpulpit.com and find out more about our services and support our sponsors. And be sure to join us next week. This is The Marketing Pulpit. And if you want to be successful, you got to do these three things. Do the right thing.
At the right time.
And you got to do it right, folks. Enough talk. Let's get to work.
1450 WOL.
Good morning. I'm Nick Bovey. Here's the latest from News...